All right, let's turn our attention to City Hall, which is always fun because, as you were mentioning, Anna, to us off there, when you Google this story, you would think that the alderman acted in our best interest and that now transparency and oversight has taken over city government and everything is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be the case, so we welcome in Krista McQuarrie from the Tribune Editorial Board. Hi,
yeah.
Krista.
Hi. I'm happy to set the record straight.
Well, Krista, he's telling a true story. I literally Googled this to hear what happened, and when you Google what alderman, inspector general, whatever, I think a lot of the news reports say oversight passes. Chicago aldermen will have new oversight, and all of that's true, but the Tribune Editorial pretty scathingly pointed out there's a big but.
There's a couple big buts.
There
are a couple big buts. Yes, they. I mean, I hate to be so critical when they did move the ball forward. Mm-hmm. They voted to allow the city's inspector general to also have oversight of the city council, which is something we've been pushing for and others mm-hmm. have been pushing for probably about 2 years now. But as council members are often want to do, they left themselves out of a couple of important oversight matters, one being they are given each year over $1 million to spend as they wish in their wards. A lot of this money is spent on sidewalks and lighting, and, you know, it makes sense for aldermen who are on the ground to be able to spend the money how they wish. But that is not part of the inspector general's oversight. He's not allowed to look at their menu money, and he is not allowed to review about $100 million that is dispersed each year in disability payments for city workers. This is run through Ed Burke's Finance Committee, and Ed Burke has resisted any sort of oversight, even though there have been stories. I don't know if you remember this one, but a couple of years ago, the Sun-Times, Tim Novak and Chris Fusco had a great story about a police officer who was getting full disability, permanent disability payments because he was unable to fire his weapon. But there he was standing over a dead bear that he was a big game hunter.
Yeah, but that's not a service weapon, Kristen. Why are we splitting hairs? That's
exactly.
Some sort of shotgun.
So that was that was police and fire, which is different from what Ed Burke oversees. But the point is there are abuses in these programs. And if there are no abuses, then Ed Burke should be opening up the books.
Right.
But he won't do it. And so that part got left out. And that's a big that's really what the inspector general wanted.
Clarify that for us, because does that mean no one gets to see where that $100 million in workers' comp is spent? Or is there already sort of within city government a couple of eyeballs that get to look at that?
The finance committee gets to look at it. But no, because it's personnel records and a lot of times health records and medical records, we don't get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just questions with how this program is run and why it is run through one committee. I mean, most cities, this is your human resources department.
Mm-hmm.
This is handled under the umbrella of City Hall. It's not given to one elected official. You know, there are questions in a lot of these cases whether certain doctors are being used because they give more favorable reports. All of those things we don't know. And it's a lot of money for a cash-strapped city.
Absolutely.
Then let me ask you this. So if they can't look at that money and they can't look at the menu money for each ward, what can the inspector general look at? I mean, you said he has oversight of the city council, but not. It doesn't sound like the money.
Everything but the money.
Yeah, everything but the money.
Don't look at
the dress
this.
Code,
all right.
Attendance.
Only over here.
Yes.
Attendance.
So he does. So the inspector general put out a release yesterday, kind of expressing his disappointment that they didn't go as far as they did, but also telling residents how they can report if they think there's a conflict of interest with their alderman. If they think there's something fishy going on with anything in the alderman's office, they can now go to the inspector general, who has subpoena power, who does have more teeth than the previous inspector that oversaw city council. So, I mean, it's not like he's not going to have stuff to do. He will still have items on his list. But a couple of the big things that we want to know, the alderman, you know, carved themselves out, which is just, you could nod your head and say, oh, it's the Chicago way, you know, but really, it's just wrong.
It's just wrong
that we have a separate system. City workers are under more scrutiny what they do day to day than aldermen.
Now, it seemed like a couple of weeks ago that this wasn't going to happen, that they were going to vote for the whole measure.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what changed? Yeah.
Right?
What made some of these aldermen, as you described them in the Tribune editorial, become spineless?
Well, they've been, we would argue they've been spineless, you know, all along. They've revised this ordinance, they've kicked the can, they've been sitting on it, and really only pressure points like you know, not to toot our own horn, but the Tribune editorial page and others, the Sun-Times and coverage, finally, you know, gets them to move off the dime. So they stalled this earlier in January. I think they needed some time to line up the votes. Another interesting thing that happened was when they added the new amendment that watered it down, two aldermen were noticeably absent from the floor. Mm-hmm. Had this been a tie, 25-25, right. Mm-hmm. Rahm Emanuel would have had to have break would have to vote and break the tie to start looking into Ed Burke's committee. And luckily, you know, just I'm sure it was a coincidence.
I'm sure it was.
I'm sure it was a coincidence.
These things usually are.
Yes, right. Let's not even cast the pall of conspiracy. That would be irresponsible,
that
wouldn't
would
it?
Be, it's irresponsible it's, journalism.
To me, it seems irresponsible just in general that the city aldermen get to decide what the rules are about policing themselves. To me, that seems like a real conflict of interest.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why for years they weren't even part of the ethics ordinance. And if you look now, city workers have to fill out forms every year about, you know, outside sources of income and all this kind of stuff. They have to fill out more paperwork if you are a rank and file city worker than an alderman does. But there are all kinds of little carve outs that aldermen make for themselves. You know, they were allowed even under the city's handgun ban for 20 years. Aldermen could be armed. Aldermen were allowed to carry handguns, but not citizens.
Because they got a lot of money they're spending.
Yeah.
They
got to
keep their go strapped. Kristen McCoury is here. She is part of the Tribune editorial board. She's also the host of the Mincing Rascals podcast that you can hear on WGN Plus. Can you hang around? Because there were a couple other things that have happened over the last couple days. Taxes and cab fees and all that.
Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's First Weather Report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN TV News at 10.
Brian Noonan in for Ro Khan with Anna DeVellantes in her usual spot. Thank goodness. Kristen McQuarrie is here. She's a member of the Tribune editorial board. She's also the host of the Mincing Rascals podcast. We've been talking about the oversight that was kind of voted in by the city council yesterday, but not really. And Alderman Will Burns, who you guys singled out at the beginning because he was terrified that the inspector general, who is law enforcement, you know, sometimes they falsely accuse people and imprison people. I don't know what he thought he was going to be accused of, but it sounds like a number of aldermen had a little bit of fear in them.
Yes. So Will Burns, who we often throw the word reformer, you know, before his name in print, I think permanently, forever gone. And he's leaving the city council anyway because he took a job with the private sector. But yes, he stood up and, you know, tried to advocate for a watered down version of the ordinance or no ordinance at all because of prosecutorial misconduct in the late 1990s, which was documented where on the criminal side, don't laugh.
I'm sorry. How can you not laugh at everything that comes out of the city council?
It was so outrageous. So we put his quote at the top that somehow these two things are apples to apples comparisons.
Sure.
Of prosecutors railroading people and them sitting on death row would be similar, you know, comparing death row inmates wrongly accused to aldermen who might get, you know, a complaint filed against them that's untrue or politically motivated. Please.
It just seems at a time when we've had national scrutiny now for the way things are done in Chicago, the lack of transparency in so many things and the lack of scrutiny and really wrongdoing and corruption, that they would not say, hey, this is a new day and let's open the books. Let's let people see where $100 million is going or millions of dollars are going for these slush funds for the aldermen. It just feels like it just feels wrong on every level. I mean, I don't understand why there wasn't maybe more of a push maybe from the mayor. Is that a possibility?
The mayor conveniently stayed out of this, and he should not have, because he could have made a difference. He could have used what he always talks about, his political capital, and he doesn't want to expend his political capital. This would have been a great place for him to do it. And instead, he allowed the council to just, you know, play their shenanigans, to line up their roll call so that it didn't put him in the hot seat. He's been very hands-off with Ed Burke, and that's probably, you could probably write books about what sort of information they have on each other, that he's not tougher on a member of the city council who has enormous power and influence over a lot of money, and he just doesn't do it.
But doesn't this make him look even more like he's talking out of both sides of his mouth when he talks about transparency and he talks about reform and he's singling out the police department, and then he has this chance to make a difference, and the people the aldermen who supported this were saying this is what we should be doing, as Anna said, for transparency. We're all screaming for it. this is the time. And now the mayor looks weak again.
Right. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's why he keeps running into trouble with the media, why he ended up in a runoff, why his approval rating has dipped so low is because he doesn't seize the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to just assume he doesn't, his heart's not in it. This is not an important enough issue for him. I guess it doesn't compare to, you know, needing to raise money and fly around to, you know, conferences in Washington, D.C. and get people to, you know, pat you on the back. This is, you know, this would have been something that he could use as a notch in his belt, but right. he didn't do it.
So now, good news, though, as I sit here with two women, mm-hmm. this is very good news. The city council has trying to lower taxes on some things that you
no.
I was shocked as a man.
Feminine
I thought,
hygiene.
Yes, I thought how awful that women are paying higher taxes than men, mm-hmm. and how benevolent of our city council to say, ladies, we appreciate you. We're going to lower the taxes on your products.
Yes. Are we just going to call them products?
Well, what do you want me to call them? Feminine hygiene products?
I know. Well, you know, this.
The tampon
me,
law, what should we say?
I mean, yeah. tampon tax.
Tampon
is what people
tax.
Are calling
there you
it.
Go, the tampon tax.
What were you going to say,
Kristen?
I was. Why don't I leave this one to you?
Here's my response is that there are so many huge problems going on in city government right now. Like right now today, I would have been celebrating big time if they had passed this huge oversight in its entirety. But this is like where they start concentrating on the little stuff that right. really doesn't matter too much in the grand scheme of things.
Sure, right. It's to throw you off. It's the, hey, look over here, classic misdirection.
But it's so ridiculous.
It is.
And it always comes from the same source. It always comes, you know, the other big issues that have come from the city council, you know, like, do we need to put diapers on the horses yes. carriages downtown? I mean, that critical city issue.
Real time to that.
Do we need to be tougher on our meat standards? We shouldn't have that red dye in meats. We don't want big gulps. I mean, all of this just, you know, our city is falling apart.
Right.
You know,
true.
we're on the verge of,
but you get
financial.
To save a little yeah. more money, ladies. That should, they pat you on the head and say, there you go, ladies, now move along, nothing to see here.
I just can't even believe it's a serious proposal. And you know, I'm not one, I'd rather pay my tampon tax
right.
than, you know, deal with a city government that is so caught in minutia. You know, let's get to the real problems of the city.
Well right. put.
Well, I guess well if that's put. Not one of the real problems, I will look for another one. Always good to see you, Kristen. Thanks for coming
by.
Chris. Keep up the great work. On the other side of the news, Anna, we have a special guest.
Yeah, it's a sergeant, former sergeant from the police department who's going to break down the new rules and regulations for officers dealing with traffic stops. This is in response to the ACLU asking for more data and some citations of unfairness within certain communities. Well, police are now required to do some pretty interesting things. He's going to break it down to us exactly what they need to do and their, you know, the kind of rank and file's reaction to it.
We'll talk to him in a few minutes. Judy's News in 2 on 720 WGN.